Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. Great program in front of us today. We'll catch up with Cedar Rapids Colonels manager Tommy Watkins at 5:30 tonight. Colonels on the road taking on the Burlington Bees. They lost to the Bees 2-1 last night, but guess who drove in the only run for the team? That's right, Royce Lewis continues to make a big impact on his new team. The number one overall pick in this year's MLB draft will be joining us on the program tomorrow. So if you're a baseball fan, Twins fan, Colonels fan, make sure you tune in and catch Royce Lewis with us tomorrow. Tommy will give us an update on what it's like to have the number one overall pick in town with the team when he joins us at 5:30 today. Also, Chris Raby, the pre- and post-game show host for the St. Louis Cardinals of KMXO Radio, he will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the National League Central race, the Cubs with a one-and-a-half-game lead after their 15-5 win over the Cincinnati Reds last night at Wrigley Field. A little bit of history made by Scooter Jeanette. He became the first player in Major League history to hit four home runs in a single game and then pitch in the same season.
Who keeps those statistics?
Well,
Elias.
I'm sure a lot. There's a guy out there, Chris Kamka, who is a must-follow on Twitter for marginal baseball info for the Cubs and the White Sox. And he came up with that nugget last night, and I thought, well, that certainly can't be a very big fraternity out there. So good on Scooter. He also homered last night. I think he's got 20 on the year now. Of course, four of them came in one game against the Cardinals earlier this year. And we'll talk, as we mentioned, Cardinals baseball and the NL Central race coming up at the bottom of the hour. More football to get to today, though, as we continue to count down the days to the season opener for the Hawkeyes. And September 2nd can't get here soon enough for a lot of people. Our poll question today is one that we kicked around for fun in the sports office yesterday. If you could buy stock, call this an IPO, if you will, on one of the freshmen, either Luca Garza of the basketball team or AJ Epinesa of the football team.
Oh, man.
Whose stock would you invest in? That's our Emil's Hideaway poll question. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Luca Garza, the hype is through the roof. Iowa went undefeated on its tour of Europe. Double-doubles all over the place. Of course, the competition level wasn't all that fantastic. And then you've got A.J. Epinesa, who is working with the number twos as a true freshman on the defensive line, five-star recruit, a legacy. His father played here. Fans have been clamoring for him for a year ever since he committed to the Hawkeyes. You got to pick one. Who are you investing in? 319-366-1600.
I mean, we forgot to talk about this yesterday when I forgot to talk about this when you asked me my impressions of Kids Day. And AJ Epinesa was making the second team offensive line look silly. And you look at a true freshman that looks the way he does, 6'4", 270 pounds, and he still looks like he has room to bulk up, which is crazy. He almost looks skinny. You don't think that he weighs 260 pounds, but he does. And once he has a couple of seasons, a couple of off seasons of development in the weight room, it's going to be scary what he looks like. So I'd probably say AJ Epinesa right now. But Luca Garza certainly getting his hype train rolling early on, before we even get to October.
You can chime in with your thoughts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That's 319-366-1600. If you want more information on their services, make sure you check out their website, jkainvest.com. We've got a prize for you today as well. Sometime between now and 7 o'clock, you can tune in and get a chance to see Hairball as they return to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena in November. Very popular show. Well, we were giving away tickets the last time that Hairball was at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, and we'll have your chance to win before 7 o'clock tonight. So BTN wouldn't give us anybody on the show yesterday to talk about Iowa's practice. And
we even offered them tacos.
And today, it's funny because I had somebody else tell me about the BTN crew and the taco shop sighting. So it wasn't just someone in this building, but apparently those guys were having a good time when they rolled into town.
Yes, they were.
On Sunday night. So they wouldn't give us anybody yesterday to talk about Iowa's practice and, I guess, promoting the fact that they were going to be talking about the Hawkeyes on the network last night. And then we tried again today because we thought, well, maybe while they're on their way to Nebraska, maybe they've got a little bit more time and they've had 24 hours to digest what they saw. And that wasn't the case either. So we had talked about doing this yesterday and then we never got around to doing it. So we're just going to pretend like the BTN guys are with us today and we're going to read what they tweeted about the Hawkeyes yesterday when they were at their practice. Now, we began the program with a little bit of Brian Ferentz's interview last night with the BTN crew. And the thing that struck me about that and why I included it is, again, I think the coaching staff sort of has its mind made up here. I think they kind of want Nathan Stanley to be the guy. And in that clip, you hear Tyler Wiegers get labeled in a roundabout way. The exact term was not used, but you hear Tyler Wiegers labeled as a
game manager.
Game manager, which is the same tag that was applied to Jake Rudock when he was at Iowa. And I know Kirk Ferentz has talked about that phrase and the fact that he's not necessarily a huge fan of it, but in these parts, that has negative connotations to it. And so I think, again, not that you're setting somebody up to fail here, but when you say, well, Tyler's been around the program a little bit more, he's a little bit better at managing the game, and then you've got Nathan Stanley who kind of looks the part. Again, I think you're setting people up here. They want Stanley to be the quarterback. They want him to win the job. And he looked good by all accounts on Saturday at Kids Day. Now, granted, that was one practice, but reading the tea leaves here, I still think that they want Stanley to be the number one guy September 2nd when Wyoming comes to town.
I think there's no question about that. And if he continues to play and perform like he did on Saturday, then he will win that job. And like you said, we're going to get to the BTN crew's tweets. But something that struck me was how similar the reaction from the BTN crew, at least through their Twitter account, was to what the general media's reaction was to Saturday's Kids Day practice regarding Nathan Stanley. And I Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz on the Big Ten Network, when the crew was in Iowa City, said that they are confident that somebody is going to separate themselves and somebody is going to win the job. And I think we're inching closer and closer to hearing that that is going to be Nathan Stanley.
Now, here's another little fun football nugget from earlier today. Actually, this was last night, right? Shortly after we were we on the air? We just went off the air.
We had been off the air for half an hour. It was around 7:30.
I don't necessarily know how I feel about this, but I guess you could say intensity, maybe that's not the right word, but the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry is ratcheting up, to say the least. Now, you had what Brian Ferentz said over the summer in Des Moines when he went on the Hawk Central podcast / radio show. They do it on the radio, but they insist on calling it a podcast as if being on the radio is some sort of leprosy in this day and age. What's wrong with being on the radio? Anyway, the podcast that he was on, and Brian Ferentz made some inflammatory comments about PJ Fleck and the staff at Minnesota. He talked a little bit about Nebraska and their recruiting, and he also made reference to
Those guys in Ames.
Those guys in Ames. Well, as we've learned in this day and age, we can never just let well enough alone. We always have to jab back. And so here, yesterday, Matt Campbell on the Iowa State Athletics Twitter account had a message for students in Ames, and we're going to play this for you, and then, well, then we're going to have a little fun with it, hopefully.
Students, welcome back to campus. This is Coach Campbell. We're really excited to have you back on our campus. You know, this is a really exciting football season. This football team for the last 6 months has been straining to get themselves better. And there's a national presence about our football program as well as on our campus. But we need you. We need you to make this place the most intimidating environment in college football, and there's some unbelievable opportunities. The game versus UNI, the team out east, and then obviously a huge home football game against Texas. But you make it special to be a Cyclone. We need you to pack the jack and to light this place on fire.
The team out east. Hawkeye fans, Cyclone fans, is this rivalry going to a new level with Matt Campbell and Brian Ferentz as sort of the faces of the particular schools?
So we've got those guys in Ames against
those guys in Ames
the team out east.
The team out east. I don't know if I'm comfortable with the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry going down this road, because it reminds me of a little bit of Michigan and Ohio State. And is it Ohio State that they take the M's off all of the signs around campus?
Yes.
And it seems a little juvenile, and I don't know.
It seems played out. It seems like it's been done before.
Well, no, that's it. Well, and that's why it's so typically Iowa. And I say Iowa, I'm not talking about the University of Iowa, I'm talking Iowa in general. It's been done somewhere else, and it's finally making its way here.
It seems like the civil conflict that, and I'm not trying to.
The civil conflict, for those who don't know,
was Bob Diaco trying to make UCF and UConn a trophy game. And this is clearly more of a rivalry game than that, but it just seems a little bit forced. And I'm all for throwing shade.
They didn't take the trophy, right? Didn't they win the trophy and they just left it?
They just left it there. They did not acknowledge that the trophy existed or that that game was a rivalry game when UCF beat UConn. So Bob Diaco was trying to bring a little bit of that Big Ten flavor to the AAC, and it just seemed a little bit forced.
Now he's cooling his heels in Lincoln. He's getting an actual taste of Big Ten flavor.
There's plenty of trophy games for him up for grabs this year.
I'm sorry, Todd, in North Liberty, I stole your thunder with the Ohio State and Michigan comparison. Michael in Cedar Rapids, we are Iowa. We can't help it that we're not cool or creative. If we don't steal stuff from other people, we won't have any fun around here. I don't know what it is. On Sunday, I was shopping, and I went to a store, and I was perusing the clearance items at said store, and I found this sweater that I really liked, because it's going to start to get a little cold, and I'm adding to my fall and winter wardrobe because
right.
I'm fat, and you need to do that when you are a big guy like me. You take clothes where you can find them. And the guy at the store was telling me all about how he loves taking the clearance items because they're big sellers in Iowa, and it's an Iowa thing. And I thought, I don't necessarily know if this is coming out the way that he wanted it, the way he was trying to present it as, but it almost came off as insulting. And if I didn't get such a good deal on this, then I probably would have said, you know what, I've changed my mind, I don't want it. But I bought it anyway, and I'll probably wear it, and it's comfortable. But it's just this idea of, we do everything here a little bit behind the times. There was a really well-known Onion article. If you read The Onion, it's a satirical publication which got its start in Madison.
And sometimes gets reposted as if it were fact.
Yeah, sometimes people think it's an actual news source. But The Onion has had fun with the state of Iowa and that very topic before with regard to fashion. If you've ever seen that article floating around there, I'll see if I can dig it up and tweet it out at Todd Brolenkamp. What are people on the text line saying?
Oh, goodness. 319-366-1600.
Matt in Cedar Rapids, I love it. Go get him, Coach Campbell. Brett Bielema liked to talk trash to Coach Walden back in the day. Yeah, Brett Bielema said it was a pleasure kicking your ass for the last
He's
5 years.
He's also really good at it. And really original.
Bielema is really good at. He would be a fine member of the WWE. You gave Brett Bielema a microphone, he would probably fit in very well on Vince McMahon's network. Michael says, "My wife won't buy a blouse if it's not on the clearance rack." You can get good deals, especially if you're a fat guy. You fellow fat guys out there, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the big and tall men's store. Get some very, very fine clothes, provided that you fit into the parameters of 5X and whatnot. I'm not there. I hope I never am, but God forbid. BJ in Marion says, "I don't know of a rivalry where fans don't already act like this. It makes me laugh when coaches get in on the fun."
When I heard this, it just reminds me of when we're getting close to NFL draft time. And I don't remember who the first person to say it was. Maybe at one point it was an original thing to say, where somebody says, "Well, I'm the best player in the draft." You're a prospect gets asked, "Who's the best player in the draft?" "Well, it's clearly me." And then after about 30 people saying it, you just say, "Okay, well, now everybody's saying it, so it's not funny anymore." And then DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame, who went 4-8 last year, says it. And you say, "Okay, this is completely played out." That's just the kind of general reaction that I had to it. It was, I am a big fan of Matt Campbell's. I think that he is going to turn that program around, but his trash talking skills need work.
So let's talk about, and let's cue this up again here, because I think we're really burying the lead here, because there's something else that needs to be addressed over the comments that Matt Campbell made. So if we just start this, I think you can probably hear what the issue is.
"Students, welcome back to campus. This is Coach Campbell. We're really excited to have you back on our campus."
All right, go ahead and cut it off here. We've got a very important message that we want to put out to people on Twitter and to the students on Twitter.
Even though it's a little bit difficult to hear.
So let's go out and let's take, on a very windy day, let's try to go ahead. No, we don't need to put a microphone on you, Coach. No, we'll just, the microphone here on the recorder will pick it up. I don't know.
Were they using a phone?
Maybe try a little bit harder, or, and I know, look at the backdrop, it's the stadium and everything. Just a hint. Maybe find a really nice backdrop indoors,
or
where the sound is a little bit higher quality and sounds a little bit more professional.
Like, I don't know, in a suite inside the stadium where you can see the field behind you?
The wind is blowing in the back. It's just, I don't, and maybe it's me. My old partner used to talk about having radio OCD. Maybe my ears are a little bit too sensitive. I just try a little bit harder. And then the whole thing, the team out east is Pitt on the schedule. I think out east, I'm thinking crab cakes and
Syracuse.
Yeah, come on. 319-366-1600. Are we in for a new level of entertainment in the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry with Matt Campbell in his second season on board? And look, 42-3 stings. I have no doubt in my mind that Matt Campbell wants Iowa to go to Ames this year, and he wants to return the favor. I mean, 42-3, and it's all I've heard from Iowa fans and seen them poking Iowa State fans over and over with 42-3 for the last 350 some days, or however many it's been. And you've got Brian Ferentz, who I think is sort of by proxy the unofficial official spokesman for the Iowa football program. who can say some of the things that it's not necessarily in the head coach's DNA. I'll use Brian's terminology talking about his father. He refers to Kirk Ferentz as the head coach. I don't know. I have a feeling that this is, it's certainly not the start of it, and it won't be the end of it. But we're going to have to put up with all of this. So part of me is entertained by it, and then the other part of me is repulsed. Because it does seem, A, like a really cheap dollar store knockoff of actual honest-to-God rivalries like Ohio State and Michigan. And it just seems a little bit forced.
It seems like a cheap knockoff of throwing shade. It seems like a cheap knockoff of Steve Spurrier-like throwing shade.
2235 said, at least Brian said, Ames. Yeah. Those guys. They had t-shirts made. Well, they didn't. Iowa State didn't, but some of the fans had t-shirts made up that said, those guys in Ames. I'm telling you, part of me thinks, oh, this is great for what, especially for what we do here. And then part of me is like, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night ginning up, stoking the fake outrage between Iowa and Iowa State fans? It's almost as bad as stoking outrage between Cardinals and Cubs fans, which we will do coming up at the bottom of the hour when we talk Cardinals baseball with Chris Raby of KMOX in St. Louis. 4:27. Let's step aside, take a quick break. We'll dive in, read some of the texts that you've sent during the last 20 minutes or so. And Kyle's going to have a big board update on the way as well. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and our producer, Kyle Mann, coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there.
They're still in first place, but Chicago's hold on the National League Central remains perilous with 45 games remaining in the regular season. The Cubs are 1.5 games ahead of St. Louis after beating Cincinnati 15-5 last night at Wrigley Field, and there could be a lot more winning on the horizon as over those final 45 games, 31 will come against teams with a 500 record or worse. 9 of those contests will be against the last place Reds, who were forced to use infielder Scooter Jeanette in relief during last night's blowout. Tonight, Chicago turns to Kyle Hendricks, who has tamed the Reds to the tune of a 4-1 record and 3.81 ERA over 9 career starts against Cincinnati. The Cubs are 7-2 in those starts, and he's 3-0 with a 2.22 ERA and 5 career starts against the Reds at Wrigley Field.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
The Colonels will fight for Iowa this Friday night on Iowa Hawkeye Night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans through the gates will receive a free Bob Brooks commemorative bobblehead. And the Colonels will wear Hawkeye bib-themed jerseys that'll be auctioned off to benefit the Linn County Eye Club. Wear your black and gold for Hawkeye Night at the Colonels this Friday night. Experience Colonels baseball, where it's always a great time.
4:29, welcome back in. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, who is at the ready with a first Midwest One Bank big board update.
The UNI wrestling program landed a big transfer today in now former Hawkeye Jack Wagner. He was 17-7 as a redshirt freshman last year, wrestling at 133 pounds. He was also a 3-time state champion at Bettendorf and considered a commitment to UNI coming right out of high school. Former Hawkeye Mason McCoy will be playing in the New York Penn League All-Star Game tonight in New York. McCoy has been playing shortstop for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, a Class A affiliate for the Orioles, and is hitting .310. The Colonels announced a roster move today, a well-earned promotion for Clark Beaker to Fort Myers of the Florida State League. Beaker is 11-3 with a 2.03 ERA and currently holds a 32 2/3 innings pitched scoreless streak. Eduardo Del Rosario is coming back to Cedar Rapids on the other end of that move. Royce Lewis went 2-for-4 with an RBI last night, but the Colonels fell to the Burlington Bees 2-1. Brian Sammons will be on the hill tonight for Game 2 of the 4-game series, taking on Luis Madero, beginning at 6:30. The Twins are back in action tonight with the man that just won't stop on the mound. Bartolo Colon's last two starts have been a complete game victory and 7 scoreless in another win. And tonight he's opposite Danny Salazar taking on the Cleveland Indians. First pitch is set for 7:10, and you can hear it here on KGYM after our show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids.
Bartolo Colon, who came up in the Indians farm system, made his debut, his major league debut, when Indians shortstop Francisco Lindor was negative 141 days old.
Wow.
Francisco Lindor was a fetus when Bartolo Colon made his major league debut. And now he's facing the team with whom he came up with tonight. That's something. We'll talk a little baseball, National League Central baseball, to be exact, with Chris Raby of KMOX. He joins us next. Stick around. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. That bit of nothing is everything. And that's what you get when you purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from your authorized dealer. Because only an authorized Mercedes-Benz dealership has the skilled technicians to certify that your pre-owned vehicle is up to Mercedes-Benz standards. Only Mercedes-Benz can back their certified pre-owned vehicles with an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, with roadside assistance included. It's time to experience confidence that's as unlimited as the warranty. Visit the certified pre-owned sales event now through August 31st, and you'll receive 2 years of prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. The Panthers gave 34-year-old linebacker Thomas Davis a one-year, $6.75 million extension, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, includes $3 million fully guaranteed. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has officially filed his appeal of his six-game suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. A hearing must now be scheduled within 10 days. First baseball game of the day, the AL West leading Astros visiting the Diamondbacks, who currently hold on to the second NL wild card spot. George Springer's two-run double, part of a five-run second for the Astros. They currently lead the Diamondbacks 8-4, bottom five. After missing the last two games because of a back issue, Tiger slugger Miguel Cabrera will be back in the lineup tonight against the Rangers. He'll play first base and bat cleanup. Yankees right-hander Luis Sessa has landed on the DL with a ribcage injury. Lefty Caleb Smith recalled to take his place. For the first time since violence shook the city of Charlottesville over the weekend, Virginia football coach Bronco Mendenhall spoke to reporters. He said their message from the team is one of unity and embracing diversity.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Sometimes, what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. That bit of nothing is everything. And that's what you get when you purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from your authorized dealer. Because only an authorized Mercedes-Benz dealership has the skilled technicians to certify that your pre-owned vehicle is up to Mercedes-Benz standards. Only Mercedes-Benz can back their certified pre-owned vehicles with an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, with roadside assistance included. It's time to experience confidence that's as unlimited as the warranty. Visit the certified pre-owned sales event now through August 31st, and you'll receive 2 years of prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
It's 4:36. Welcome back in to the first hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Remember, sometime between now and then, you're going to have your chance to win tickets to see Hairball as they return to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena in November. Always a great time and a really nice venue for the show that they put on. So be listening for your chance to win. Plenty more baseball talk on the way tonight as well. We'll catch up with Colonels manager Tommy Watkins at 5:30. Cedar Rapids on the road in Burlington tonight to take on the Bees. They'll be back at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Friday. It's a Z102.9 Mug Club night as the Colonels host the Beloit Snappers. And it's the second to last Mug Club night of the year. As Alex, you look a little forlorn over there. I don't think I'll ever be able to make one.
Didn't
get to any Mug
work,
nights.
But...
Oh, you've made up for it by getting to a lot of Cardinals games this year, though, in St. Louis on your trips home.
A couple. I think two.
Well, speaking of the Cardinals, as we promised, Chris Raby is with us from KMOX, the host of the Cards pre- and post-game show, among other duties. Let's talk a little bit about this Cardinals team. Suddenly red hot as the 45 games remaining in the regular season. Chris, what do you make of the Cardinals and this late-season resurgence?
Well, I think this is the team that they expected all along, guys. I think that for the Cardinals, they came out of spring training expecting that they'd play a certain brand of baseball, especially offensively. And while they hadn't done that up until the last couple of weeks consistently, they finally put it together over the 8-game winning streak. We saw guys getting on base. We saw guys being driven in. We saw a lot of crooked numbers going up, 6 straight games in which they scored 8 or more runs, which was a franchise record. And you pair that with the pitching that's been pretty consistently good all year and a defense that has been rapidly improving and has been one of the better, I think, in baseball over the last month or two. And it's led to a lot of wins and gotten them right back in the division.
Let's talk about that defense for a second, because it was a really big Achilles heel for the first half of the season, and it just seems like players were playing out of position, and Mike Matheny was catching a lot of heat for it, and he's just trying to kind of find the right pieces of the puzzle and put them in the right fits. Do you think that he has done that so far, or now that all the pieces of the puzzle are in the right spot and everybody's playing in the right position?
I think so right now, and obviously some of it has to do with injury. When a guy like Dexter Fowler is out of the lineup for a few weeks and you're not able to have someone consistently in center field, you're bouncing guys around, that hurts. When Aledmys Diaz, who was an all-star last year and a guy the Cardinals, I think, were expecting to be a star player for them this year and moving forward, gets off to a really rough start, that hurts up the middle because he already was – a guy who you hoped would get better defensively. So then you're shuffling some new guys into that spot. I think they've found the answer in Paul DeJong. Colton Wong, now that he's been healthy, has been one of the better all-around second basemen in baseball. His offensive numbers have been very good. His defensive metrics have been good. And, it's just consistency. Like you said, I think that's led to the success that they've had. They're not making errors. If you look at some of the advanced numbers, whether it's defensive runs saved or what, they certainly have seen an uptick in just about every position in that area. So, yeah, they're playing better. And, for a team that struggled to score runs at times, you certainly couldn't afford to give them away in the field or on the base paths. And that's why I think that, they were never really able to get on a roll earlier this year. Now that you are scoring runs and you're getting to pitching, you mix in some solid defense and some good base running. And, that leads to a team that can not only win games but can come back in games and, can snap off a winning streak.
And once they have a lead in the ninth inning, it looks like Trevor Rosenthal has found his form. What happened with Rosenthal this year that allowed him to sort of snap back into the Trevor Rosenthal that we saw a couple years ago when he first made that transition to the ninth inning role?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's two things. I think last year he wasn't necessarily healthy the entire year, or he was pitching through a little something, and that opened the door to Seonwan Oh. And when Oh had so much success, the Cardinals weren't necessarily in a hurry, whether it be this spring or out of spring training, to hand the closer role back over to Trevor. But as Oh struggled a bit, and Trevor certainly had, you know, his struggles at times this year, but as he has had success, he's looked like the guy from a couple of years ago, like you mentioned, aside from maybe a few things he's doing. When the Cardinals stretched him out in spring training this year to check on the viability of him throwing multiple innings, he became very comfortable throwing his cutter. He became comfortable throwing multiple pitches in multiple counts, not needing to rely on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And while his fastball is still very, very good, and he can touch triple digits if he wants, I don't think feels like he needs to do that to get guys out. He doesn't necessarily need to try and blow guys away. He's got himself in better counts, especially early in innings, where in the past putting the first runner on in an inning had plagued him. And, you know, I think he's just more comfortable with his repertoire right now. So yeah, he's been really good. Who knows with closers, as oftentimes can be such a volatile position, but yeah, as he has gone and you've known who that guy is at the back end of the bullpen, it's allowed Mike Matheny and the Cardinals to shuffle some other guys around or maybe put some guys in more favorable situations at other points in the game, depending on the leverage, to help them try to get to Trevor with a lead, and he's delivered.
I think it was in May when the team was going through the struggles that they were. John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny said that there wasn't really much in Memphis. There the cavalry wasn't coming. And it seems interesting now because you look at what Paul DeJong and Tommy Pham have done. Where would this team be without those two?
It's probably not a team that's a game and a half behind the Cubs or five games behind the Diamondbacks. I think that for Tommy, it will start with him. You always saw the skills, but he just wasn't able to stay healthy. And with the acquisition of Fowler and with the expectations for Grichuk and Stephen Piscotty coming out of the spring, there just wasn't really a spot for him. And again, make the most of opportunity. He went down. He was great in Memphis for the first month. And then when he came up, was absolutely fantastic and hasn't looked back. He's been great defensively and a guy who can move around, play all three defensive spots in the outfield as a plus. He's great on the bases. He's put together a tremendous offensive year. He's talked about, you know, the fact that he's been able to cut down on some of the bad pitches he's swinging at. He's been able to hit more line drives, which has increased his batting average on balls in play and thus his batting averages and on base percentage. And he's just really been a breath of fresh air, I think, for a team that had been used to bad things happening over the last couple of years when it came to injuries. And he kind of broke that mold and has been able to stay healthy and really, really play well. Paul DeJong, I think that he kind of personifies what the Cardinals have built up in their system the last couple of years. Because while there wasn't necessarily the super high-ceiling guy who was ready to burst onto the scene or who was, you know, at the AAA level this year, you felt like you had a lot of solid players, I think, at AAA or maybe even AA, and guys that kind of have fit what the Cardinals have drafted in the first round from 2013 to 2015 or 16. Paul was a college shortstop drafted 2 years ago out of Illinois State, fifth rounder, and progressed very, very quickly through the organization because of the advanced level they drafted him at. I think Michael Wacha fit that profile. I think Marco Gonzalez, who has since been traded, fit that profile. Luke Weaver fit that profile. And, you know, Paul, another guy who has been able to come up and have a ton of success. I think that his power has developed. His glove has developed as he's climbed through the organization. He showed up at the Arizona Fall League last year, and third base is his natural position. He went over to third base, take grounders, and there were like four guys over there, and there was only one guy at shortstop. And they told him, well, the Cardinals want you to play shortstop. So he did that every day for the first time in quite some time at the Arizona Fall League, and now we've seen him be able to do that at the major league level. So maybe a little bit of pause because of the success that Aledmys Diaz had last year and then some of the struggles he had this year, but I think the difference is that Paul was drafted already at a fairly developed level out of college. And again, he's been able to climb through the system. He's had success everywhere he's gone, and it's been pretty remarkable what he's been able to do. And tonight, Fenway Park, Paul DeJong, 2 years after getting drafted out of Illinois State, not even making the club out of the spring, will be hitting third and playing shortstop.
It's pretty remarkable when you think about it, Chris. Teams can still make some moves here until the end of the month. They just have to do it through waivers and get a little bit more creative. Is there an opportunity, or do you see a chance where the Cardinals could maybe make their lineup a little bit better by tweaking it with a waiver move here or there?
Yeah, I don't know who it would be. Obviously, I think every team is looking for maybe a power bat off the bench, but you know, those can be hard to come by, especially with kind of some of the gamesmanship of guys and whether or not they get through waivers and then how the post-waiver deadline deals work. And the Cardinals hope, I think, that that'll be Stephen Piscotty at some point. He'll be able to work his way back to St. Louis. He's in Memphis right now. And again, with Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez and others, it hasn't been as pressing to get Stephen back. So I think that they hope maybe that would be him. I think every team, again, is going to be looking for bullpen help, but, you know, easier said than done. And I think the Cubs over the last couple of years have shown that that's easier said than done, unless you're really looking to make a blockbuster move before the deadline. And, again, they've got some guys and they've got some power arms in AA and AAA right now that I'm sure they'll be excited about bringing up in September to give them a little more horsepower and take some pressure off some of the guys in the bullpen. So, you know, I know fans always clamor for moves and love moves because of some of the intricacies of not just the roster and some of the, I don't want to use the word redundancy in a bad way, but just some of the similar player profiles the Cardinals have in the club right now. I'm not sure there's a glaring need, and I'm not sure I'd expect them to make any move to add.
So let's talk about Stephen Piscotty for just a second. He goes down to AAA. There was talk that the club had offered him up to Oakland as part of a deal that would have brought in Sonny Gray to St. Louis. Instead, they make the deal with New York. Assuming that he isn't traded before August the 31st, has there been any chatter as to what the plan might be for him?
Well, I think first on the Oakland thing, and again, I haven't been able to confirm this, but my pure speculation is that that may have had something to do with Stephen's family. His mother, tragically, earlier this year, was diagnosed with MS, and he's from the Bay Area. So part of me wonders if they said to him or if he said to them, listen, if there's, you know, I don't necessarily know if he'd want to be moved, but if there's a chance that he could get back closer to his family, I wonder if that had something to do with that deal. But as far as Stephen as the player, I mean, they signed him earlier this year to a long-term contract. And, you know, I think every guy goes through this, whether it's Cardinal players like Randall Grichuk recently or Cub players like Al Schwarber. I mean, when guys explode onto the scene and have an incredible level of success, I think that, you know, it takes an adjustment period to get used to playing an entire big league season, the grinds of that both on and off the field. And sometimes production takes a hit. I think that he's still a huge part of the Cardinals' plans moving forward. You know, Colton Wong went through this last year after he signed his long-term deal, and now, you know, he's putting up tremendous numbers this year. And I don't think they're going to be shopping Steven. I don't think he's going to be on the move. And again, any rumor that comes out, I would imagine that there could have been a connection to the stuff his family's going through and the Cardinals maybe trying to accommodate him as he goes through a bit of a tough time. But I know he loves St. Louis. He wouldn't have signed the deal otherwise, and they're hoping he's a big part of this club moving forward.
Now, Chris, I've got to ask you this. You are a Chicago native. Is there any chance that you grew up as a young boy rooting for a certain team on the north side of town?
I did. I grew up a huge Cubs fan. Growing up in the north suburbs of Chicago, grew up going to Wrigley Field, rooting for the Cubs, you know, going to games with my dad and my three brothers and then later my buddies. Road tripped from the University of Missouri to Phoenix for game one of the 2007 NLDS, the game that they pulled Carlos Zambrano and then Carlos Marmol gave up a home run, and that, of course, would be a sweep. I was at Wrigley in 08, and then he got swept by the Dodgers. So, yeah, I grew up a huge Cubs fan, but I went to Mizzou. So I had a bit of a connection to St. Louis, and a couple of years ago after I made a stop doing radio in Memphis, the opportunity came to come here and be part of the Cardinals broadcasts, and baseball has always been the first love, and I was quick to jump to St. Louis, and you guys know, as you cover a team or get involved with the community, sometimes allegiances can change. So I have definitely flipped. I don't root for the Cubs anymore. But, man, I have plenty of friends and family, and was thrilled for them last year when the Cubs were able to win. You know, my grandmother, just people that have been waiting for it their whole lives. And I hope it's a great rivalry moving forward. But, yeah, I've definitely flipped sides and thrilled to be down here working with the Cardinals right now. And it's been exciting to see what the Cubs have been able to do.
So Game 7 of the World Series last year, you were just like, yeah, good for those guys.
Yeah, I really was. And, again, I was thrilled for my brothers and my friends and my dad, who, you know, had season tickets and would take me to games growing up, and used to go to games with his dad and used to go to Bears games at Wrigley Field. Like, thrilled for the city, thrilled for everyone, but, you know, you move on, and I want the Cardinals to be there. It was a blast getting to cover the team when the Cardinals got to the World Series against the Red Sox in 13. It was amazing to be at Wrigley for both games in 15 when the Cardinals and Cubs played in the NLDS. And, you know, I'm part of the Cardinals now. So
welcome to the bright side,
humbling,
Chris,
to say that. And it's great to be a small, tiny sliver of the rivalry and get to experience it. And, again, I was talking to someone today. Can you imagine down the stretch if it's Cubs and Cardinals neck and neck for the division, or if we end up with another playoff matchup? I mean, that matchup in 2015 – being here in St. Louis and then being at Wrigley, and I tell people, being inside that building for game 3 and then game 4 when the Cubs won, it was amazing. I mean, the building was shaking on every single pitch. The baseball was good. Obviously the Cubs got the better of the Cardinals, but man, that little taste of the rivalry in the postseason made me even hungrier for another rematch. So I think it would be great. I think this division is going to be a lot of fun over the next few years with not just the Cardinals and Cubs, but the Brewers tooling up. Pittsburgh obviously is solid. Who knows what the Reds are doing, but I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Hopefully losing to the Cubs tonight. Chris, we appreciate it. 45 games to go. Thanks for the time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks so much.
Chris Raby, the pre- and post-game host on that? KMOX for the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, hey, good for them. They won Game 7. Happy for my grandma. There's no way, man. There's no way that if you took me and you dropped me in St. Louis like that, or if you went and worked in Chicago, there's no way you can flip that switch, is there?
Well, if I got paid to cover the Cubs, it probably would get flipped.
I'm just telling you.
Based off of someone who has...
That team out east. You go to cover that team out east.
Has covered a team and, like, been employed by a certain team, that switch can get flipped, especially when money is involved.
Now you're speaking my language. 4:53, a big thank you to Chris. We'll continue the baseball conversation today in about 40 minutes or so. We'll talk with Colonels manager Tommy Watkins. They're on the road tonight to take on the Burlington Bees. 7 home games remaining for you to see Royce Lewis, the number 1 overall pick in this year's Major League Baseball draft. He's going to be with us on the program tomorrow, so you're not going to want to miss that. We'll have more details about that to come. Quick break here. When we come back, Kyle will join us again for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. More on the way after this.
Austin, we got your game.
Dave Austin here from Austin's Golf. You've been waiting to buy that new driver or golf shirt till it goes on sale, right? Well, wait no more. Austin's end of summer clearance sale is on now. Savings up to 60% on brands you want at the lowest prices of the year. Have our award-winning club fitters get you in the right equipment, regardless of the price. Shop Austin's now for our end of summer sale and save up to 60% store-wide and online at Austin's.com. Play better, have fun, and shop Austin's.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hess. Is your company stuck in the minor leagues? Still using paper files or multiple Excel sheets for HR? The big leaguers at Future Systems can help. With advanced HR, you take control of the HR process. From applicant tracking and onboarding to online benefits management, customized reports, and integrated payroll, it'll change the game for you and your employees. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
This Saturday, you, your family, and friends can all pitch in to make Cedar Rapids even more beautiful during the City of Cedar Rapids One Bag Challenge event. Just meet at the McGrath Amphitheater at 1:30. When you get there, you'll pick up your kit, divide into groups, and head around town to spiff things up. The first 50 people to pick up a kit get a free mini cooling towel. There'll be snacks and a group photo of all you do-gooders, too. This is a great way to show your kids how to make a positive impact on the community. Be part of the One Bag Challenge Saturday. Get details at cleanupcr.com.
Welcome back. It is 4:55, hour number one, almost in the rearview mirror. Hour number two to come. Remember, fun with the Big Ten Network's tweets. Since they won't join us on the program, we're going to take their tweets and have a little fun with them. Tommy Watkins on the way as well. And a question tonight at 6 o'clock about what kind of etiquette goes into a grown man, a grown adult man, wearing another person's jersey. Hour number three on the way. But first, here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The UNI wrestling program landed a big transfer today, and now former Hawkeye Jack Wagner. He was 17-7 as a redshirt freshman last year, wrestling at 133 pounds. He was also a three-time state champion at Bettendorf and considered a commitment to UNI coming right out of high school. Former Hawkeye Mason McCoy will be playing in the New York Penn League All-Star Game tonight in New York. McCoy has been playing shortstop for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, a Class A affiliate for the Orioles, and is hitting .310. The Colonels announced a roster move today, a well-earned promotion for Clark Beaker to Fort Myers of the Florida State League. Beaker is 11-3 with a 2.03 ERA and currently on a 32 2/3 innings pitch scoreless streak. Eduardo Del Rosario is coming back to Cedar Rapids on the other end of that deal. Royce Lewis went 2-for-4 with an RBI last night, but the Colonels fell to the Burlington Bees 2-1. Brian Sammons will be on the hill tonight for Game 2 of the four-game series, taking on Luis Madero beginning at 6:30. The Twins are back in action tonight with the man that just won't stop on the mound. Bartolo Colon's last two starts have been a complete game victory and seven scoreless in another win, and tonight he's opposite Danny Salazar taking on the Cleveland Indians. First pitch is set for 7:10, and you can hear it here on KGYM after our show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
That'll do it for hour number one. Remember, sometime between now and 7 o'clock, your chance to see Hairball at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Be listening for your chance to call in. More of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way. Hour number two is next.
The Ford summer sales event is in full swing.
How does one tiny little human need all this stuff? Stroller, umbrella, buckets, shovels, blanket, changing table, jumpy gym, bouncy seat.
Okay, sweetie, can you open the back?
Sure. I'm not holding anything with my foot.
Hands-free foot-activated liftgate, optional on the 2017 Ford Escape, lets you load up without putting anything down.
Wait, isn't the jumpy gym and the bouncy seat